number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loans studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. They call this night in our business, and even maybe some of you fans, the worst sports night of the year. It comes the day after the All-Star game. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what's out there. We got a couple of bit of news nuggets. So they give us the ESPYs, and they give us the ESPYs every single year. And it's been going on for a while, so it's not like the ESPYs are new. And yet, I haven't really been able to process exactly what the ESPYs mean. I know what they are. I just don't know what they mean. And look, it's an award show for sports. It's also a place where we can see a lot of social issues be brought up from sports people. They've done this for a couple of years now. It's a chance to honor people with the Jimmy V Award who are battling cancer, and we get very emotional moments. We did with Stuart Scott. We're going to do that. We did that tonight with Craig Sager. We honor Arthur Ashe, Courage Awards, Caitlyn Jenner last year, whatnot. But I don't know what the ESPYs really are. You know, I know they're a marketing tool for ESPN, but I don't know if what these awards are have any real value. I think that the Arthur Ashe Courage Award does. I think that that kind of thing is important. Team of the year, player of the year, all that's kind of just fun fodder, I guess. But in reality, and I know I had this conversation years ago with my sister who loves movies and she loves the Oscars. The ESPYs are today what the Oscars were probably when it first started within the first 10 or 15 years of its existence. People probably didn't know if that had any value either. And here we are decades later, and films that are nominated for an Academy Award, films that win an Academy Award, actors and actors who win that award are heralded. I mean, it is a big, larger-than-life deal. Your career can be made if you take home an Oscar. I don't know if ESPYs can do that in sports, because the trophies and the honors that you get in sports kind of handle that for you. You're a champion, you're an MVP, you're a rookie of the year. So winning male athlete of the year as an ESPY, I don't know if that carries much currency like an Academy Award does, or a Tony, or a Grammy. But in our world, this is as good as it's going to get. I never really watch it. I've seen bits and pieces of it over the years. I'd rather just take the night off and just not dive into something sports related on a night like this. I'm just not going to watch an award show. But that doesn't mean I don't respect what it can do. And the four athletes that got on stage and spoke about gun violence, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, I thought that was moving. I saw some clips on the internet. I thought it was moving. I didn't see it live. I'm sure it was well received. That seemed like a very that's the kind of thing you would do at an ESPY award. Yes, we're going to have the silliness of play of the year and team of the year, and we're going to honor something in the kind of the toy department of life. But while we have center stage, while there's no games that are going on, while there's nothing else to sort of distract the sports world, we're going to address these issues. And look, you can agree or disagree with some of the things the ESPYs has tried to push over the years. And I know the Caitlyn Jenner thing had people totally up in arms. But the reality of it is that it's a platform, and they utilize that platform, and they let you digest it however you want. And in that regard, I can't completely diss it. And as much as I'd like to sometimes, because it does seem like it's pretty frivolous, I also can't diss a show. Even if I didn't see it, I can't diss a show that was going to honor Craig Sager in his battle with cancer. And I can't diss a show that would pay tribute to Muhammad Ali. So in those two respects, I have to give the ESPYs their due. I still think it's a little silly. I still think it's a little frivolous. I still think it's just millionaire athletes getting more awards. It seems ridiculous. But when it dives into those things, when it puts Craig Sager on center stage, or Stuart Scott for that matter, and you see the battle that they're going through, and it's real and it has meaning, and they bring to light a cause, I think that's a pretty cool thing, because this thing can get a little soaked up in its own importance, and I think those are the kind of things that bring it back down a little bit. All right, 800-777-2907. I'm Tony D, taking you through the night tonight. Yes, it may be a dead time in sports in terms of games, but it doesn't mean it wasn't a dead day in sports. Nick Saban blowing up at Paul Feinbaum at SEC Media Days. We've got that story coming up for you as well. But I want to get to the story that people probably saw but didn't know really how to process it. And that's concerning Tom Brady. Now, before I do any Deflategate story, and I've done this for the last couple of months, is that I tell you that I still think this story is ridiculous. I think this story is silly. I think this story got way out of hand. I mean, this is the Archduke Ferdinand of the sports world. I mean, Archduke Ferdinand, who was assassinated, that set off a chain of reaction of events that led to World War I. This stupid deflated football thing has escalated into the World War I of sports.
You know what's crazy, Tony? The fact that we've been together now, this is our 19th month together on this show. This happened in the very beginning of the second month.
That's right. Deflategate. That is right.
That's how long this stupid story's been going on.
So today was the news that Tom Brady's appeal was denied by the U.S. Circuit Court. Well done there. Let's try to get this out of the court. So now people are saying, well, Tom Brady could take it to the Supreme Court. Tom Brady could keep on fighting. Here's my advice to Tom Brady. I think you can still win here if you sit out the four games. I had been saying for months and months and months and months, if not years, because we feel like we've been swimming in this pool for a long time. But I've been saying, look, as much as we hate the fact that this seems to be going where it shouldn't go, into the court system, lawsuits, depositions, judges, all of that, the reality of it is what Tom Brady was protecting is not four games of playing. That's not what he's trying to protect, or four paychecks. That's not what he's trying to protect. He's trying to protect a legacy. And if you were protecting a legacy, you will go to whatever means necessary to protect your legacy. Imagine if you built something in your community and something really frivolous had a chance to destroy that. You'd fight it too, even if it meant boring people around you with the minute details of your suspension. Brady fighting this, because he has four Super Bowl rings and all of these incredible accomplishments and what he's meant to the sport, what he's meant to the Patriots, and it's about ready to go up in smoke if he takes a suspension because of cheating. That's the key. It's not just, I'm going to take a four-game suspension because I tackled a guy wrong, or I'm going to take a four-game suspension for a personal misconduct on the field where I may have kicked a guy in the head after he intercepted one of my passes. That's not what Brady's fighting. Brady's fighting the thing that athletes dread, the label that they dread. You want to be aggressive on the field? People will take that label. You want to be kind of a hothead? People will take that label. You want to be too uncoachable? People will take that label. But cheater, nobody wants to take that label. Nobody. Because it means everything that you've done can be called into question and can be, and here's the key, destroyed. And that's what Brady is fighting. And that's why he might take it to the Supreme Court. But here's the risk in this. If he takes it to the Supreme Court and it goes through quickly. I don't know if it will, but if it goes through quickly and it doesn't go his way, then he's going to sit out four games in the middle of a stretch run that's quite important for the Patriots. It could be week 12 through week 16. It could be the playoffs. It could be the games leading into the Super Bowl. It's going to happen the moment the Supreme Court says, we side with the NFL. And believe you me, the NFL would slap the Patriots silly. They wouldn't wait till next season. They wouldn't do anything. Brady sits out immediately. So Brady has to determine, when does he want to sit out if he loses? Now, he's rich. His wife's rich. I'm sure they've got legal people that are giving him the real honest answers of what you can expect down the road. Tom, the Supreme Court doesn't do this. The Supreme Court doesn't do that. This appeal, it's pretty strong, and it's likely not to get to the Supreme Court if we pursue it that way. So you've got some decisions to make here, because this is historically how the courts work. And if you're the Patriots, Don't put us in a position, Tom, where we need you the most and you aren't there because you miscalculated this. He needs honest legal advice. He needs straight up legal advice. I know he's getting it, but he might be getting, oh yeah, no, this is worth the fight. We'll take it to the Supreme Court, Tom. He needs somebody that is willing to say, don't fight this. Don't fight this. Because you're going to sit down in November. Are you going to sit down in December? Or worse yet, Tom, you're going to sit out in January and February, and you know what those dates are. Take it now. Say you fought the fight. Deny, deny, deny. Use the court as the reason why you have to sit out, not you accepting this fight. I'm Tony D. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Ah, yes, reeling in the years. That is what Tom Brady and this Deflategate thing has done. Tony D taking you through the night here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Telephone number 800-777-2907. And listen, I don't mean to take this topic that most of America, if not all of America, is pretty sick of, but it's still an important NFL story, because think about where the Patriots are going to be. Think about what behind closed doors it must be like for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick going through this again. Like, they want so badly to support Brady. They don't want Brady's legacy to be tarnished if he has to sit out and all of a sudden the cheating label comes easily off the tongue of everybody who makes a comment about his career. But at the same time, they can't live in this limbo of lawsuits and courts and hearings and Supreme Court now possibility. I mean, think about it. Is the Supreme Court of the United States going to listen to Brady versus the NFL? Now, some lawyer may say, yeah, Tony, you'd be surprised what the Supreme Court hears. Not everything is about gay marriage or equal pay or any of those other major issues that we see on the news when the court's in session. A lot of times they hear things just like this that you don't hear, that don't make the news. So, yeah, maybe Brady versus the NFL is something the Supreme Court would hear. I don't know. It just seems too frivolous to me. But imagine if you are in the Patriots camp. You want this over with. Just serve the four games and let's get out of here. But Brady, again, is so protective of his image. And you know what? Rightfully so. I really can't deny that. I can't tell him not to. Because, again, imagine, and I go back to the thing I said last segment. Imagine if you built something in your community. Imagine if you were responsible for building playgrounds and revitalizing the downtown area of your town. And you were a major part of that. And that was the legacy of your town. And then somebody came in and said, oh, yeah, by the way, he's done this with his taxes. And you know that's not true. And you would fight that. The question that I've always had with Brady is, if he knows he did this, then just find a way to accept the punishment in a way that doesn't give your image that much of a hit. If deep down you know you did this, if deep down you know you deflated those footballs, you know you ordered these footballs to be deflated, then take the suspension. Say, you know, just stand on a soapbox and go, I didn't do this, but I, for the good of the team, will take the suspension since my appeal was denied, but I did not do this. And then just shut up. But he keeps fighting and he keeps fighting and he keeps fighting. And now, I think this has been ridiculous. I think this has been overblown. I think this has been magnified 1,000 times, 1,000+ times to something it should have never been. You know, it's funny. Adam, have you seen the OJ thing yet? I keep asking you every time if you've seen the OJ, the Made in America 30 for 30.
I started watching it.
Okay. I'm not giving away anything at the end, but at the end of the documentary, when they were talking about OJ going to prison for the robbery in the Vegas hotel, one of his defense lawyers, I think his name was Carl Douglas, really, he was the star of the whole documentary because he was really good. At the end, he talked about how his football team in high school was terrible, but they always won the fifth quarter, which was the fights at the end of the game. So he says, for four quarters, we were terrible, but we always won the fifth quarter. And then he says about OJ's verdict in the robbery, the Vegas robbery was 33 years. He said, that was 2 years soaking wet. They gave him 33 years. making the point that this was payback for getting away with murder in 94. In a way, that's what this feels like to me. The way he described that situation can be applicable to what the situation in Tom Brady. Four games for this? Shoddy evidence? Four games? This was a fine and maybe one game soaking wet. This was nothing. You lost your mind, NFL. What was it? Payback for Spygate. Do it again. Keep doing it. That's what it was. And that's why Brady fighting this continues to be a story, because when is the greatest quarterback in the league going to be sitting these four games for letting air out of a football or having somebody let air out of a football during a playoff game? For the love of Pete. You may say it's a long national nightmare for this story, but Brady really, in the end, Brady doesn't owe you your entertainment, right? He doesn't care if this is, we've had enough of this story. He's going to fight this, and it's going to be, I got to be honest with you. There's part of me that does want to see if the Supreme Court will take this, just because I can imagine like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like, or John Roberts, or, you know, somebody on the Supreme Court, you know, David Souter, Clarence Thomas. In the case NFL versus Tom Brady, we find that the NFL overreached its bounds. However, oh God, that'd be fascinating. TV explaining this. Am I going to need Alan Dershowitz on my TV explaining how this works? Or who's the guy on ESPN I really like? Lester Munson?
Yes.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Lester Munson is the best. He's the best. Because I'm an idiot, let's be honest. I could not be 1 second in law school. I need things simplified down to the basics. And Lester Munson always takes these complicated legal things that we have in sports and breaks it down to like even an idiot like me can get. All right. The collective bargaining agreement. Okay. It's like you had two peanuts and then you ate one and then you split the other among 32 other people. That's what this is. Oh, now I get it. Thank you. Oh, thank you. That's what he does. It's fantastic. But I got to be honest with you. Brady, just sit out the games, please. Sit out the games. Now, it's likely that he's going to. So he probably will. But please, just sit out the games. That's my advice. 800-777-2907. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Renaud Notaro is going to join us from Denver, give us the latest on Von Miller and the Broncos. I found, you want to talk about a story that I have not been sick of, is the Von Miller Broncos thing. I think there's so many cool angles to this story that are being overlooked that it could all be shut down once Von Miller agrees to his deal coming up on Friday. When he signs that piece of paper for that new long-term deal with all the guaranteed money he wants, all of the big issues that were in play go out the window. Like, we could actually have an athlete. Think about this. We could actually have an NFL athlete with a tremendous vocal presence and a real strong personality could actually defy the franchise tag in the league. Sit out a year to make a big point about the franchise tag. Chances are it won't happen, but there's a possibility. So we're going to have Renaud Notaro come up at the bottom of the hour. By the way, the British Open is going to be underway in 10 minutes. Do you know that? 10 minutes.
10 They're minutes. I can't wait.
10
I got the TVs
minutes.
On.
Royal Troon is going to be, and the opening threesome is going to be Colin Montgomery, Luke Donald, and Mark Leishman are going to be teeing off first at Royal Troon. Like Colin Montgomery, that's like his home course. Boy, what a shame he never won anything, huh? Colin Montgomery never won a major. Came close, but he never won a major. Today, and I hate to admit this, today I actually entertained myself for about 20 minutes watching the Golf Channel, watching guys practice putting, chipping, and hitting out of bunkers.
I watch that in SEC Media Days most of the day.
It's been great. This is what we do when there's nothing else going on in sports. Renaud Notaro, Mile High Sports Radio, joins us next. We'll talk about the latest about Von Miller and the contract situation in Denver. They probably are going to get this done, or will they? Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So I was saying earlier tonight, I think the Von Miller-Denver Broncos situation is fascinating, but it's got a shelf life of like 2 days now because a deal will probably get done, but this is still rather interesting. Renaud Notaro joins us, Mile High Sports, to talk about this and a couple of other things around the Broncos. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
Good, man. Good. All right, so how close are Von Miller and the Denver Broncos right now to a deal?
I think they're really close. I think that it's probably going to happen on Friday. I've been talking to some people close to the situation, and they seem to think it's going to happen on Friday. You know, there's so many variations that are running through my head of what could happen. I'm trying to fathom, could he possibly sit out a season? What if the Broncos traded him? Could that possibly happen? But I think they are very close, and I was told today that Elway was actually answering the phone. So I think the line of communication is open.
Now, who has leverage in this situation? Because the Broncos could make him play under that tag, and Miller sitting out, while it seems like that would be his play, doesn't seem to be a good play. So who has leverage here?
I think Vaughn probably has the most leverage. You're coming off a great season. He had a very good regular season. He had one of the all-time great postseasons. And he's now out of the drug program. And I think that's what the Broncos were trying to do. And that's what all these teams do. Whenever you have negotiations, whether it's arbitration, whether it's free agency, the club always tries to pick away and chip away at any little negative, and I'm sure they've been holding Von Miller and trying to hold his transgressions of getting busted for smoking pot early on in his career against him. But I think Von really has the leverage.
In terms of where Elway's, you know, negotiating here, yeah, he could give Miller this money. What would that mean, though, for the Broncos as they need other areas taken care of, too?
Well, that's what I've been thinking about, and I've said it on my show on Mile High Sports this week, is think about the teams in the NFL that have signed big contracts, signed free agents to huge contracts. The Buffalo Bills come to mind, the Houston Texans, the Miami Dolphins. None of those teams have gone deep in the playoffs. And when you sign a player to that high a percentage of your salary cap, it's dangerous. There's very little money to spread around. So, you know, they still have Sanders. Are they going to sign Sanders? What are they going to do about some of the linebackers? And there's a lot to be addressed for the Broncos, but right now Von Miller has to be the number one priority.
How do fans take this? Because it's not a desperate situation anymore. They've won a title, and while you want to win more, the urgency is no longer there. How do they feel about Elway needing to pay this guy and this guy needing to take more of what resources away from the team?
I've heard very few people on the Broncos side. I think the fans want Von Miller. He's such a lovable guy. He always has the smile on his face. He's like a little kid, and he's out there having fun playing football. So the fans love him, and I'm trying to visualize, could you imagine the Broncos trading Von Miller and trying to acquire picks and maybe trying to acquire another Von Miller so they don't have to pay Von? But I think the fans are on Von Miller's side, and I'm on Von Miller's side. I think anybody is, because he is in the prime of his career right now. This is where he makes the money, and this is the time he makes the money. He should break the bank, and the problem right now is the Broncos aren't offering him enough guaranteed money. He's looking for $70 million in guaranteed money, and the Broncos, they've come up to about $60, $63 million. So, I mean, you look at the guys that have been signed recently, and they're not as talented. They haven't had the success on the field that Von Miller's had, And those are the guys that are setting the table. They're setting the precedent of the guaranteed money, and it's only going up and up.
Reno Nataro joins us, Mountain High Sports Radio out in Denver, on the Von Miller contract situation. All right, so you and I are probably in agreement that sitting out a year is not likely to happen, and in the end he'll sign something and play. But let's look at sitting out for a second. Here's Von Miller, still a young guy, sit out a year, really heals up from any nagging injuries that bother him, comes back fresh and gets paid. He then he's able to make a statement about the franchise tag. Like, you think we won't sit out? We will sit out. This league is so it's so driven towards the owners. These contracts are all owner friendly. I'm going to make a stand. Is that out of the question for a guy like Von Miller? Could he be a pioneer there and say, yeah, you know what? I will take that road nobody wants to take.
Yeah, the martyr, no linebacker left behind, no
right.
No football player left behind. Look, it's a nice story, and I don't think that's what his intentions were, but I think as this process has stretched out and dragged along, that his agent has probably said, hey, let's spin it, make you look like the good guy, because the Broncos tried to shame Von Miller by, you know, coming out and saying, here's the deadline, we're giving him this deadline, and so they tried to shove it in his face, and so this is a way of him being the good guy. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm doing it for the rest of the NFL. But, you know, it goes back to the give and take in the last labor agreement in, okay, we don't want to have all the hitting in practice, so what are you going to give the owners? Well, this is what the owners got. So you only want one day of hitting? You only want one day of pads? Well, then the owners have to have this out. So it's negotiations, but sure, he could be the good guy, the martyr, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Reno Nataro again on the Broncos. All right, so another what's the quarterback situation going to be like? I know you had some mini camps and camp starts in about a week or so. What's the quarterback situation?
Are you actually asking me that?
I'm asking you that. Yes. No, I want you to tell me an answer.
No, do you have the answer?
I don't have the answer, but you could have the answer, and you could share us the answer.
Oh, okay, because the Broncos have been the gift that keeps giving for those of us in the Denver sports radio. Because here you have a team that just won the Super Bowl, upset the mighty Panthers, and now they don't have a quarterback, and there's a possibility that their Super Bowl MVP outside linebacker might not come back. So, yeah, I don't know. Is it going to be Trevor Siemian? Is it going to be Lynch? I mean, Lynch has so far to go. You're talking about a guy that played in one of those gimmick shotgun spread offenses. He doesn't know how to read defenses. He's never taken snaps under center. He has so far to go. He has all the physical tools. Trevor Siemian has been in this system for a year. He's really, really smart. He went to Northwestern. I know he didn't play a lot at Northwestern. I know he hasn't played at all, really, in the NFL, but neither had Brock Osweiler. So Siemian at least knows the offense, and then you have Mark Sanchez. So, I mean, to me, Sanchez is just yawn. I would rather see Trevor Siemian start than Mark Sanchez. That is the honest-to-God truth. I have a feeling that Paxton Lynch could start day one. Not day one
That'd
of training camp.
That'd be wild.
I don't think day one of training camp. I don't think in the first preseason game, but I think by maybe the second preseason game that Paxton Lynch could possibly do it. But again, Tony, he has so much to learn. It's just not that system is not. It doesn't really translate immediately. It doesn't translate at all immediately to the NFL. And he's got to learn how to take a snap from under center. That's so basic, but it's something he has to learn.
Reno, great talking to you, my friend. Appreciate it as always, my man.
Anytime, Tony. Anytime.
All right, Reno Nataro, Miley Sports Radio. And the last two Denver Broncos Super Bowl championships, the starting quarterback retired. Brian Greasy took over for the defending champs, and who knows who's going to take over this time around. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yes, you're
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio. and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. The Open is on at Royal Troon. And I'm sorry, I don't want to laugh at golfers, but Colin Montgomery is just hacking it up on the first hole. This is his home course. He was hitting four out of the bunker and had to hit it sideways into the rough. And then made a nice chip. That was that Montgomery I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye? Was that, that was a nice chip.
Yeah, yeah, he made a nice chip.
Okay, so he should... He should put that in for a six, right?
Yes, which would be a great save.
Would be a great save. It's that that was his ball. If you know, I'm not going to bore you with golf speak, but the bunkers in at the British Open are they're not like the United States. They're deep. They're meant to be hazards. So you go into them and you're like, man, how am I going to get this out? And this ball was right on the base of the wall. So he could not hit it out towards the green. He couldn't make. He was going to have to make it go straight up in the air. So he had to pitch it to the side. So he already. So he pitched it to the side, then made a chip, and it looks like he's going to save a double bogey to open up the British Open. But here's the thing about the British Open at Royal Troon, is that if you don't get your birdies early, it's over. Like it's over. You'll see guys today be five under through nine. Four under through nine, and then they make the turn and they'll make two or three double bogeys or bogey because the back nine is into the wind, it's longer and the holes are tougher. So this is where you got to get your birdies. So Colin Montgomery making a six is like it's like a three shot difference on that hole. That hole is a piece of cake. All right, 800-777-2907. The British guy, though, is there, the guy who does the intros?
Yes, he is there.
He's awesome.
He's
from
making
the USA, the... Jordan Spieth.
Yes, he clap, just clap, announced clap, clap, clap. One of the guys that hit. And I just heard cool. The announcers say that these guys teeing off first are actually kind of getting a little bad luck because this first hole is definitely drivable for some of the longer hitters, but it's too early in the day where it's a little colder still. It hasn't warmed up, so the ball flies better later in the day.
That's the thing about the British Open that has always amazed me, even when I was a kid watching it, is how cold it is
yes,
over there.
Yes, I know.
I mean, it's July. It's 100 degrees here, swimming in humidity. We're all dying. And then over there, they're like, they can't wear enough
it's
layers.
Always, yeah, it's always windy and just
jackets.
Chilly. And
it's great. It's like they're playing in freezing cold weather.
All right, Montgomery just made it.
Good job, Colin. Plus two on the first hole. That could have been a nine.
That could have easily been a nine.
Good. You should feel good about that. Go get yourself a couple of birdies there, Colin Montgomery. All right, 800-777-2907. Steven on Twitter. I opened the sports page from the Columbus Dispatch from yesterday, and who do I see? Marlins man. Yeah, Marlins man is everywhere. God, I love Marlins man. That's my goal now. I want to go to a game where he's at and just stand in line to get a photo. Get a little selfie. By the way, Pokemon Go. Remember we told you yesterday, don't play Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
I saw something on Twitter today. Apparently, there's a Pokemon or a Pikachu or whatever they're called that you could get at College Station at Kyle Field at Texas A&M. And people were lining up to get into the stadium to get the Poke creature.
You would know this very well, being what you did. You were talking about it last night when you did minor league basketball.
The minor league basketball, the promotion,
minor
yeah.
league teams have gone crazy with it.
Yeah, they totally jumped on board with this.
I
yes.
saw something saying there's, I can't remember the exact number, but it was over 50 minor league baseball teams. Just in the affiliates of the major league teams have made up something for Pokemon Go for in the next few weeks.
That's incredible. Yeah, I've seen a couple of minor league stadiums do it. Kyle Field opened up its stadium to do it. I think there was one other football. I think maybe even Nebraska opened up its field for people to go capture whatever the hell this is. And it's really crazy. My wife again downloaded it last night as to find out what the craze is. Tonight she says to me, "You want to go for a walk?" I go, "Okay." And sure enough, she had her app open. Walking around trying to see. She says, "Well, it says that there are three creatures around. I haven't caught one yet, and I'm just curious." And I said, "Oh my God, you're addicted to it already, aren't you?"
I watched a video. I saw a video, a headline on Twitter that was talking about Shaq's sophomore son, who's a sophomore in high school, and talking about how he's dunking and how big he is. So I wanted to see the video of it. So I turned on that and watched that video. And at the very bottom of the story, it says, oh, Andy's really good at Pokemon Go. And it showed a tweet of his saying, I caught 27 Pokemons or whatever it is today.
Goodness.
Like, it's in everywhere. Every story, it slipped in somehow.
It's crazy. It's absolutely
ridiculous.
Crazy. It's really ridiculous. All right, coming up in the next hour, there was some fireworks at SEC Media Days between Nick Saban and SEC Network host Paul Feinbaum. We're going to have you. We're going to play that clip for you. I wonder sometimes, there's a part of me that knows that when you have these kind of events, the details, the minutiae, you can get really bored with all that stuff. And I wonder if somebody wanted to just spice it up a little bit. But this sounded real. Like, there was real contention. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. We'll also get into the ESPY Awards tonight. I'll give you the rundown of some of the athletes who won and some of the better moments of the ESPYs. I didn't watch it, but I like said earlier tonight, I still respect it. It's kind of making its niche again at a dead sports time. When you have an event that can get all the athletes to show up, I mean, this isn't something that, you know, they're doing and like, yeah, Steph Curry couldn't be here because he doesn't care about this stuff, but we're giving him the award anyway. No, Steph Curry's there. LeBron's there. Most of the athletes who are going to win are there. So it's, you know, it's becoming kind of an important thing. We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour as well. Plus, Chris Cotillo will join us from MLB Daily Dish on Major League Baseball as we head into the second half of the season. The Open is underway at Royal Troon. We'll keep you updated on that in the early goings. I am Tony D, and we are taking you through the night on Yahoo Sports Radio.